And you know, Megan, this is how naturopathic medicine really evolved in Ontario, Canada, with the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, of which I was on the board for 8 years, and you went to the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. If it hadn't been for all the attacks on any alternative medicine doctor in Ontario, I don't think naturopathy would have really gotten off the ground, because people needed natural medicine and they were never going to get it from their doctors.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctors, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So about 20 years ago, someone handed me a book related to women's health. And she gave me this book after I had expressed some interest in naturopathic medicine. I had seen a naturopathic doctor. I was fascinated by their approach and philosophy to treating health upstream. And she said, check this woman out. Her name is Carolyn Dean. She's a medical doctor. She went back and studied naturopathic medicine, and she now practices in New York. And I found the book profound, so profound that I made the decision that I would study naturopathic medicine. Well, here we are almost 20 years later, and today I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Carolyn Dean. Dr. Dean went to Dalhousie University in Canada. She was licensed as a medical doctor practicing in Canada and in the US, but always had an inkling and desire to approach health from an upstream perspective. Trained as a naturopathic doctor as well, that was the philosophy that she brought to the table as a physician. She is a prolific author and researcher and commenter on trends with respect to medicine. And one of her areas of expertise that she is most passionate about now is understanding the role of magnesium in the body. As she explains in this interview, magnesium has over 800 functions in the body, and in her opinion, is one of the most common areas of deficiency that we see and experience as humans. In fact, she went on to explain why so many of the chronic diseases for which we are medicated and our healthcare system is expensed for may actually, in fact, be deficiencies in magnesium. This interview is for anyone who is human. It is fascinating. It is in depth, but we also jump back up to the surface to really understand how a very simple supplement, a very simple mineral, can actually have profound and lasting effects on your health. It is my pleasure to introduce you to someone who was so influential on my career, Dr. Carolyn Dean. Dr. Carolyn Dean, it's a pleasure to have you on the Entrepology Podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I was just sharing before we hit record on this interview that you were actually influential in my decision to pursue naturopathic medicine. Almost 20 years ago, someone handed me one of your books and introduced me to your work. And I thought, this is amazing stuff. So if you could, can you back up and take us through your journey to how you got here? You were trained as a conventional medical doctor and then became a naturopathic doctor. How did you make that transition, and how did you end up in Hawaii?
Oh, let's let's do the short version. I was always interested in nutrition and health and natural medicine just from traveling with my boyfriend, now husband of 50 years.
Wow.
traveled on the West Coast. And that's when, well, there was the hippie stuff. We didn't get involved with that. But at that time mid to late 60s, there was a whole nutrition focus. I can't even say it's a nutrition revival. It was like nutrition had cachet in Los Angeles, for example. Maybe it was the Hollywood scene, people getting into health, but the Adele Davis, Pavo Arola, folks that have a history as being the groundswell of natural medicine. So anyway, we were out in LA. I went to all those conferences, read the handful of books that were available, and was very, very turned on by taking charge of your own health. When I got back home after traveling and I went into honors biology, I thought I could save the environment. I worked for the Department of the Environment in Nova Scotia for a summer and realized, well, that's never going to work because, you know, they didn't have any environmental policies. But at a certain point, I guess toward the end of a semester, some of the folks in my biology classes were getting notification that they had been accepted into medical school. And I was horrified at these young nerds who knew nothing about the world or humans or anything were going to be doctors. And I said, well, I can do better than that, that's for sure. So I marched over to the dean of medicine's office at Dalhousie University. Thank goodness they had a medical school. And who was there but my high school guidance teacher, Miss Elliott, who had done all my aptitude testing and said, oh, yes, you know, as vice president of the student council, the top three in marks throughout your high school. Oh, yeah, you could be an executive secretary or a nurse. Right. So I didn't. Well, actually, I did go to university in Sackville, New Brunswick. What was it called? Gosh. Mount Allison. And I just did 1 year of BA secretarial science. Oh, it was dreadful. But I did get my typing in shorthand so that then after a year or so of biology and I marched over to Miss Elliott and said, sign me up. I got into med school the next semester because I just happened to have all the prerequisites. So that was it. I was in med school without all the angst for a decade that young people go through when they just say, oh yeah, I want to be a doctor. And then they have to, you know, they have to knuckle under for that reason. But anyway, medicine was pretty soul destroying, but you know, we were married by then. You know, my husband sort of took care of my emotional health and I made it through. And without being distracted, what has happened in my experience, seeing young people go into medicine, they get destroyed. They may go in thinking that, yeah, I want to help people. I want to take care of them. And they just get so beaten down. Even when I was applying for medicine and I had an interview with third year medical students, they nixed me. They said, no way this person can become a doctor because she's too Pollyanna. They said, they just put it down to I had too much idealism about what I could do in medicine. And by third year, these poor medical students knew that it was impossible to help people in medicine because it was just, I don't know what they thought in their minds, but it was just too much for them to believe that I would survive. But anyway, by that time, I'd met the dean of students, and he and I kind of laughed about that evaluation, and somehow I got accepted into medical school. But it is pretty soul-destroying. I would be in class and just a couple of times I spoke up. I learned not to speak up too much, but I spoke up and I said, no, there have been studies about breast milk is better than bottled milk. And the pediatrician called me Bubbles and told me I was mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah. And 2 weeks later, he apologized to the wrong class. He apologized to the second year instead of the first year where I was in, and said he'd read the study and he apologized to the student who brought it up. I mean, crazy things like that. And I brought up some research about drug companies sort of faking results, or it was very specific what I talked about. Oh, no, you're dead wrong on that. Drug companies are very ethical. And golly, I mean, what's happened since then has shown us that drug companies are absolutely out to sell drugs, not to enhance our health. So when I get out, I got my internship in Toronto at Mount Sinai. It was a great year. I'd spent the year before at McMaster in my clerkship. And because Dalhousie, they're just a crazy university with such high standards, we had to pass fourth year American boards to pass our third year. So they made us be a year ahead of any other med school. So by the time I got to McMaster for my fourth year clerkship, I was done with books. But McMaster was in a tutorial experiment where they had no formal classes, no tests, no exams, but everybody just worked in small groups. Now, if you give 50% of the population an out where they don't have to study, they'll take it. So what happened in the clerkship year is all these students who hadn't had any tests were facing their national boards at the end of their fourth year. And so they didn't even hit the wards. They were just home studying. So I ended up being on the wards so much that I kind of passed from a clerk to an intern to a resident, where I was doing all the procedures myself because there was no one else there to do them.
What a cool experience.
It was awesome. It was just so awesome. So then I did my internship. And then during my internship, the chiropractic group in Toronto decided, well, you know, we really need some naturopathic training. So they started a naturopathic program, and I knew the chiropractors. They were referring me patients, so I just went into my naturopathic studies. So I got that degree. I didn't practice as a naturopath because I had my medical license, so I practiced as a medical doctor, but from day one, I was so fortunate. From day one, I was practicing like a naturopath. So it's funny, Megan, I tease as much as I can some of the doctors I come across, because they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, I was killing too many people as an MD, so I decided to do alternatives. And I said, yeah, I didn't have to kill anybody. I got the message before I became a doctor who practiced on people.
You were a fast learner.
I was so blessed. It was amazing. So I started a 4-day work week. It got too busy, so I moved to a 3-day week. I saw the signs all around me that I started practicing when chronic fatigue was invented. I started seeing some of the first people who had chronic fatigue and, of course, yeast overgrowth. So I said, okay, if I don't want to end up like these folks, I better just, you know, pull back, take care of myself. And so I was blessed there as well to be a quick learner. I just saw these people as a reflection of myself if I didn't take care of myself.
And what advice would you give to new practitioners coming out in terms of really embracing self-care? Because I actually treat a lot of naturopathic doctors, and they are, by metrics, some of the least healthy people in my in my practice, they are tired and overworked and usually quite sensitive to other people's emotions and hold on to a lot of that. You know, from your vantage point now, what would you say to those new practitioners coming out?
Well, I mean, there are words to be said and philosophies, and I'm sure everybody's heard them over and over again. So with practitioners, with my patients, clients, and now customers, I basically tell people, take magnesium for the tension that you're feeling with all the stress. The stress is depleting your magnesium. It means you're not sleeping well. So you're getting 4 or 5 hours of interrupted sleep. You get up in the morning and you do it all over again. So it's really a practical solution. Saturate yourself with magnesium so that your physical body will feel like it can cope. And I work with my own magnesium. I have a few other products that also enhance the feeling that your body is taking care of itself, because in medicine, in naturopathic medicine, we're given the impression that we can manipulate our body and other people's bodies by giving them substances. I draw a little ire from naturopaths when I say a lot of naturopaths are really just green allopaths, because instead of giving drugs for symptoms, you give supplements for symptoms. And that's not naturopathic medicine. Naturopathic medicine is looking at the whole person, looking at what they're eating, sleeping, exercise, their, you know, what their brain and mind are doing, and taking all those things into consideration. It's not just about giving a prescription for supplements.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, in reading your material and watching the transition from the outside in terms of where the depth of your conversations lead, you really, when I first read your stuff, it was a lot about hormones. And and now there's a really strong transition to talking about magnesium and the tremendous capacity of this mineral to have impact on your health. What was it that kind of shifted that dialogue for you a little bit?
Well, it was personal. As most good things are, you have to feel them within your own body. I was in New York doing AIDS research using alternatives, and I had written a little book when I was in Toronto, just a health encyclopedia, because I got tired of saying the same thing over and over again. So I self-published a book, and that got picked up by a health publisher in New York. And all of a sudden, I was on local New York television about health, and got a bit of a notoriety there. And then Random House asked me to write a book on magnesium. And I thought, gee, how can I write a 300-page book on one mineral? And the moment I started looking into magnesium, I knew about it. I knew it was important. But lo and behold, I was the queen of magnesium deficiency. I was getting heart palpitations, really bad Charlie horse leg cramps, and insomnia, neck tension, just a lot of stuff. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need magnesium. So I start taking magnesium, and what happens? I immediately get the laxative effect. And by my own personal experience, I knew I needed magnesium. If I get a bit, I would feel better. But then even more than a pill at some points, I would get the laxative effect. I remember one time I started a new multiple, and it had about 80 milligrams of magnesium, probably oxide, in it. And I didn't realize it. And I lost 10 pounds from chronic diarrhea, thinking that I had some sort of bowel disease. And it was just this magnesium oxide, which is only 4% absorbed. So after the book, you know, I became sort of the magnesium expert, did a lot of interviews and a lot of writing about magnesium. And at the same time, tried to find a company, a mineral or magnesium company, that would make a non-laxative magnesium. And they said, oh, it's too expensive to do the research. It would require too much education. So finally, I went into the, quote, business of creating products and was able to create a non-laxative magnesium. Now, this is after being in Canada, going on the Deanie Petty show and getting chastised and rebuked by my medical licensing board for saying bad things about sugar on national TV. Seriously, I was, and then I was investigated. That put my head above the water, and they said, well, if she's saying bad things about sugar, then we better look at her. And they did an investigation that continued beyond me going to New York. And I turned in my license, my Ontario license, because I didn't need to keep it up. I had a California license because of writing American boards when I was in medical school. But anyway, after a number of years of no license in Canada, being in New York, writing my books in New York, being on television down there, there was a witch hunt that occurred around about a dozen alternative medicine doctors up in Canada in the mid-1990s. They put my name in the box, had a trial without inviting me to it, and took away a non-existent license so that they could write it up in their records that, if you do something like Dr. Dean and use alternatives, then you're going to get nailed. So this is, and Megan, this is how naturopathic medicine really evolved in Ontario, Canada, with the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, of which I was on the board for 8 years, and you went to the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. If it hadn't been for all the attacks on any alternative medicine doctor in Ontario, I don't think naturopathy would have really gotten off the ground, because people needed natural medicine and they were never going to get it from their doctors.
And it remains a very unfriendly jurisdiction on the medical licensing side for medical doctors who are choosing to practice naturopathically or functional medicine. It is a very challenging space to practice mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Because who does it harm? It harms the practitioner, but it totally harms the patient. They feel they have no choice. And they don't get, there's no payment for naturopathic in the healthcare system, as far as I know. Maybe that's shifted.
No, it hasn't. That has not shifted. And the irony is there's no payment set up for it, and yet the engagement of naturopathic medicine is so effective at decreasing some of the most expensive elements of healthcare delivery in our jurisdiction. And to that, you have a profound interest and understanding of magnesium. Take us through a little bit in terms of the vast array of tentacles that this condition has. I'm thinking in terms of like a chronic disease. We look at something like osteoporosis, for example, which costs our healthcare system millions of dollars. Let's just talk about how a simple mineral can actually have a profound effect on a disease such as that, or hypertension, or any of those other chronic afflictions that cost us all so much money.
I know. It is quite incredible that magnesium deficiency can trigger or cause 65 medical conditions. 65. And just a sidebar, magnesium is necessary for the inner working and functioning of 700 to 800 different enzyme systems in the body, systems that create energy, make our DNA and RNA, digest our foods, relax muscles. The heart is one big muscle. If you have too much calcium compared to magnesium, the heart seizes up. Any muscle that seizes up in the body will cause a spasm. You can get spasms of your blood vessels that cause hypertension, for Pete's sakes. Spasms of blood vessels in your head that cause migraine. So we've got anxiety and panic attacks, asthma, blood clots, all kinds of different bowel diseases, cystitis and bladder spasms, depression, diabetes, fatigue, heart disease, hypertension, as I said, insomnia, kidney stones, migraines, any sort of musculoskeletal condition, osteoporosis, Raynaud's, sudden infant death syndrome, tooth decay, any sort of toxicity. The list is huge. And yeah, doctors just don't get it because they are so used to looking at one disease and one drug to treat that disease.
And why is magnesium like that much more important than other minerals? Or is it just happen to be where you went deep? Like, all where right. does it fit? What's the context?
Well, what's amazing about magnesium, Megan, is that it is necessary for about 800 different enzymatic functions in the body. And that's not digestive enzymes. These are functions that, say, create energy. For example, take the Krebs cycle. In the mitochondria, the Krebs cycle is very active. There are 8 steps in the Krebs cycle, and each biochemical step requires a vitamin or a mineral cofactor. 6 of the 8 steps require magnesium. So if you don't have magnesium, you don't have energy. You go to your doctor and you say, I don't have energy. I'm tense. I can't sleep. And then the doctor basically just says, well, are you anxious, tense, or are you depressed, tense? And that just allows them to either give you an anti-anxiety drug or an antidepressant. And there's not one thought about magnesium not working in your Krebs cycle and not giving you energy. In medical school, we learned nothing. However, in Dalhousie, we had a biochemist who was the dean of medicine, and he made us do 200 hours of biochemistry. Every chart that went up on the screen showed biochemical reactions and showed the vitamins and minerals. And I would see them because I was interested in nutrition. So it was all there, but it was never taken into the clinical realm. We never learned that, oh, yes, because magnesium is necessary for your energy in the Krebs cycle, then you should take magnesium. It was always assumed that, oh, if you're eating an okay diet, then you're fine. But what I found when I was writing the Magnesium Miracle book is that the food supply is empty of nutrients. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture was measuring 500 milligrams of magnesium in an average diet 100 years ago, and now you're lucky to get 200. So there we have the reason why people are suffering magnesium deficiency. They're not getting it in their food supply, and instead of taking magnesium, they've been told to take calcium, which kind of bumps away your magnesium. You have to have enough magnesium around to dissolve the calcium, so we end up being calcified and have all kinds of calcification diseases.
And so to clarify, when people are looking for a calcium supplement, which will come as a calcium magnesium, that is insufficient as in terms of a magnesium supplement.
Usually it is, because the magnesium right away has to fight the calcium itself, because most calciums are only about 4% absorbed. And then the extra calcium that's not absorbed, it does tend to precipitate into soft tissues. And so it's precipitating in the gallbladder, it's creating heel spurs, kidney stones, breast tissue calcification. Women who are taking calcium supplements are succumbing to DCIS, the breast condition that doctors say is a pre-cancer, ductal carcinoma in situ. It's just a calcification, and it's mistaken for cancer because sometimes cancer can have calcification. So there's all the huge diagnostics and surgery for DCIS, which is just calcification. And women are led to believe and just horrified that they have breast cancer. They don't hear the pre cancer. They just hear, oh, I've got cancer. So anyway, all this calcification is, as I said, bumping out the magnesium, causing buildup in all the different arteries. I mean, carotid blockage, coronary artery blockage, kidney artery blockage. It's just calcification from lack of magnesium.
And so from a supplementation perspective around magnesium, and I know you have a line of magnesium, what should people be looking for? Because there are a variety of magnesiums that are available on the market. And I think it's frankly overwhelming for most people, right? They're like, oh, I just grab the biggest, most colorful jar and I throw it in my water every night. So I suspect, I mean, I have answers for this, but I would love to get it from you. What should people be looking for?
Right. In my first editions of the Magnesium Miracle, I would list all kinds of magnesiums and talk about the available research and what they were good for. But bottom line is you just want magnesium. So in my last edition of the book, Magnesium Miracle 2017, I put, look, start with Epsom salts bath. That's a magnesium sulfate. Put a cup or two in your bath, do it with your kids, and you start absorbing magnesium and you see how good it is for you. The second is magnesium citrate, like a natural calm that you have up there in Canada. The natural calm people are great. And it's a powder, you put it in water, and you sip it through the day. Me, I get diarrhea from it. I would never be able to get enough magnesium to get rid of my magnesium deficiency symptoms. So like you say, the third one is my REMAG, R-E-M-A-G. It's just an online product. And I did a book about hormone balance. And mainly it was about detoxing the body, because when women lose their period, they get more toxic. So sometimes the menopausal symptoms can be related to toxicity. But what I found with getting people saturated with magnesium, that they were detoxifying. Many of their so-called menopause symptoms were relieved just by taking the magnesium. So I work with my formulas for anybody who has anything at any stage as sort of the basics of getting the right well-absorbed nutrients. That's the other thing about minerals is my minerals are stabilized ions of the mineral that will be absorbed directly into the cells. So they're not distracted, they don't precipitate. And actually, that's another incredible fail-safe of magnesium. Even with my REMAG, I say it's non-laxative. But when you're fully saturated and your body just doesn't need any more, then you will start getting some laxative effects. And you know, okay, I finally saturated. But that can take a year, year and a half. It took me 18 months.
And are there other side effects? And I know that's not really a side effect, but more of an indicator. But are there other side effects to supplementing on magnesium?
There are four contraindications to magnesium therapy. Kidney failure, and that's usually people on dialysis where they're following their magnesium. If you're taking poorly absorbed magnesium, it will kind of flood your bloodstream. And this brings up the topic of how to measure magnesium, because when they're measuring serum magnesium, it's what's in the bloodstream but not what's in the cells. So it's a very inaccurate measurement. And in my Magnesium Miracle book, I talk about people who they'll measure serum magnesium and red blood cell magnesium and ionized magnesium and find out that, in fact, you know, they may be on dialysis, but if they're taking an ion of magnesium like REMAG, their cells benefit and their whole body benefits, but it may appear that there's too much in their serum. And that's how doctors have gotten the notion that you can't take magnesium if you have any sort of kidney problem. And it's a real dilemma, because that's the first thing doctors will say when patients say, well, I'd like to take some magnesium. No, you have a problem with your kidneys. You can't take magnesium. And the other is myasthenia gravis. That's a muscle relaxation condition. And magnesium purportedly relaxes muscles. So they say, oh, that may be a problem. But then again, I've had people who their myasthenia gravis is from toxicity from heavy metals, and they need the magnesium to help detoxify. People with excessively slow heart rate. Now, if magnesium kind of slows things down, it doesn't necessarily dive in there and slow down an already slow heart rate. It actually will balance it out. But again, the perception is that magnesium slows things down, so you have to be careful. And I say to people, yes, be careful. And if you've got that slow heart rate, you may require an artificial pacemaker. So I don't pull any punches there, because I don't want people to get worse. And then, of course, bowel obstruction for people who are taking a laxative type of magnesium. These are conditions where you're under a doctor's supervision. So it means that the majority of the public can take magnesium and any form of magnesium without a problem. But then if you get the laxative effect, do not put up with more than, I say, loose bowel movements a day, because you're just going to pull out your magnesium that you're trying to replace.
The body's usually smart. So if it gives you things like diarrhea in response to consuming something, one should maybe take that as a sign that they've gone a bit too far.
But you know, Megan, how we learned in naturopathy that, oh, you can take magnesium, they say, with vitamin C as well, take them to bowel tolerance, and then that means the body has enough. But that is not the case in magnesium. And what I'm finding now with all kinds of serious chronic conditions, like Lyme disease, for example, the doctors will say, oh, yes, you need magnesium for sure. But when you get the laxative effect, cut back. So that means they're never getting enough magnesium. And they, just like in allopathic medicine, they're treating Lyme symptoms of magnesium deficiency with all kinds of other nutrients instead of getting the magnesium to saturation points.
Is there a time where we should be supplementing magnesium over engaging in something like an Epsom salts bath, or conversely just being like, I'm done with pills and powders for a while, I'm just going to get magnesium from a bath? Is there like a proper indication or pattern that you've seen in that respect?
Well, people will say to us they can't take oral magnesium, and I'll just start with the baths. But in my case, I couldn't get enough baths. And then I went to a magnesium oil, but it started irritating my skin and actually kind of breaking my skin and putting, you know, I got skin rashes. So that became painful. We created a Remag lotion, and we find that people who don't want to take oral magnesium, they can use a Remag lotion and have the same absorption as oral. So it's quite a well-absorbed mineral by baths or by a good lotion. And this is what we use with kids, autistic ADHD kids, or just, you know, busy kids who aren't getting magnesium in their diet. How can they? It's just not in the soil anymore. Megan, it's crazy, but even people who eat organic, the vegan raw food people who drink 40 ounces of green drink a day, and they think they've got all their nutrients, they're not getting their minerals. They come to us with leg cramps and heart palpitations, but they really quickly respond to magnesium, to Remag, because they're pretty healthy. They're very healthy, actually, so they respond very quickly when they get the right minerals.
Yeah, I was reading a study last week, and it was talking about how to eat vegetables, which one would think is just not requiring further research at this point. But they were saying in the last 100 years, we went from having an average of 50 to 70 species of vegetable per week down to less than 7.
Oh, my God.
And so for people who are saying, I want to do it all with diet, I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer, but I'm like, you know what? I just haven't seen... rarely do I see diet alone being able to support optimal health. It certainly gets you to the line of fine, and no one's going to have scurvy, but certainly doesn't support that chasm between fine and optimal.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen something similar in your experience, which far exceeds mine.
Well, the other thing too, there are the young people who are approaching this vegetarianism as a way to be healthy. They're doing the biohacking on their bodies. They're doing CrossFit. They're just really pushing their physical body. And it's probably a reaction to the fact that they're on their, what we call their chip body all the time. They're constantly on their phone. So they have to antidote that with all this extra physical activity, but they're sweating out their minerals. Mm-hmm. And then you get the new diets, ketogenic diet. I mean, I went through that 20 years ago and it's resurfaced again, but with all the research showing how good it is, and I do keto myself, but it's being promoted by groups of doctors who just get so fed up with seeing people die with the kidney disease from diabetes. Actually, my favorite doctor is up in Toronto, Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. And they're doing great work. They're putting people on intermittent fasting and the ketogenic diet, but they don't know about the minerals. They're saying to people, oh yeah, when you develop the leg cramps and Charlie horses from the keto diet, do an Epsom salts bath. Well, why wait? I tell my people who are on keto and intermittent fasting, keep taking your minerals. Do your minerals. Put your sea salt in your water. Even take your B vitamins. I tell people who are toxic, because as soon as you go on any sort of like a yeast-free diet or a keto diet, you're going to be breaking down fat cells that have toxins. So for your toxins, take bentonite and psyllium during your fasting. It's not carbs, it's not food, and you can soak up all these toxins and you won't have a keto flu or a keto headache. I have awesome results with people who are doing this new dieting, because it is a weight loss diet, but it's also a way of lowering your insulin so that you avoid a lot of chronic disease.
Yeah, no, there's so much complexity to any of these pieces. And I'm getting the sense from you, like, put your minerals in, like, hedge your bets against the fact that your diet is likely deficient. You're probably spending too much time in front of EMF fields, and you're likely exercising and sweating without appropriate replenishment.
You mentioned how I try to bring it back to the basics. That's my whole philosophy, Megan. I'm all about replacing your minerals, sea salt, magnesium, and multiple minerals, and treating yeast overgrowth. I think it's the imbalance of the antibiotics, the cortisol, high sugar diet that's thrown us out of balance with our intestines. It's caused yeast overgrowth. And although I focus on yeast, I'm starting more to talk about the layers of infection that yeast will harbor. I don't like to scare people about all the co-infections and layers of infections, but I certainly learned about it in the early 90s in New York dealing with AIDS and chronic fatigue. Every person we did blood tests on, they had every virus, every bacteria, every parasite we tested for. And you can't treat these things one at a time. You have to elevate the nutrition and the immune system of the whole body in order to deal with these things. You cannot keep doing what I called a whack-a-mole treatment where, you know, oh, now they've got whatever, Lyme disease. Let's whack that with some more antibiotics. You have to treat the whole body as a naturopath should.
Well, I love that perspective, and it's a great place to ask this question. Your contribution thus far in your career has been immense and expansive. What do you want your legacy to be?
Well, just for people to keep on doing what I've been doing. I'm not going to stop for a long, long time. But what's awesome is having a team of people now mime me. I've been able to create little, you know, or big clones of myself, because the message has stayed the same throughout the decades. The message is treat yeast overgrowth, remineralize, and then you create the groundwork for a healthy body. And if there's anything left over, heaven forbid, stop doing the genetic testing. It's not about the genes. It's about the cofactors that turn genes on and off. It's about the epigenetics. What are the biggest epigenetic factors? Magnesium and the B vitamins. So I focus on them. Stop looking at all the things you think you have to remove from your diet. You know, oh, I'm reacting to histamines. Well, take your magnesium. It's an antihistamine. I have MTHFR. No, just take your methylated B vitamins. So that all these minutiae, the energy medicine machines where they test for the top 100 things that's wrong with your body. Stop doing that. Your brain can't take that much negativity about your health. And stop doing, as I said, the gene testing. But now, you know, with the polymerase chain reaction test that they had for AIDS, they're doing it now on all the viruses and bacteria. So they are telling you, oh, you have these 20 infections. And it's like, oh my gosh, my brain just can't handle it. Anyway, that's my philosophy.
We are totally missing the forest for the trees.
Yes.
We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. What a perfect place to transition in terms of the interview. The last little tail of the interview is a section that I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like I believe we have these in our business, I think we have them in our health as well. So I've got a few quick questions for you related to some of the elements of your health and your life. They're not hard. You ready?
Ready.
Great. Do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
I brush my teeth and go to bed. I don't. Well, did you see, I take my magnesium at night, my REMAG at night. I do take a couple of my own supplements. But, you know, years ago, I would be taking handfuls. Now I just take my Realign B vitamins and a vitamin C and a Blue Ice Royal, which is my vitamin A, D, and K from fermented cod liver oil, and my Prescript Assist probiotic. That's it. And I'm off to bed. And I sleep 6 hours. I don't need any more than that. As my nutrition got better these last few years with my own products, I need less sleep.
Which is totally amazing. See, you had more of a routine than you gave yourself credit for.
I know. I go to bed. I brush my teeth and I go to bed. Okay.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
I read both. I just read Kindle, so I jump back and forth between science fiction fantasy, which I think is the future, and health books. I'm reading Jack Kruse now, K-R-U-S-E, and he's big on cryotherapy, cold shock therapy, and I'm kind of critiquing him because I don't think my people will lie in a bath covered with 40 pounds of ice in order to change their metabolism.
Says the doctor calling from Hawaii.
Yes.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
It is my magnesium and my REMAG. If I miss a day of my REMAG, then my heart palpitations start to come back. So I know I'm a big magnesium waster. So I have to keep replacing my magnesium. So that's, if I went to a desert island, I'd take a gallon of my REMAG.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh my gosh. I'm a scrapper. I will, anything that bothers me, I'll just dive in and start critiquing. But I get that out of my system because I blog. I blog twice a week, and I attack whatever I think needs to be attacked, or draw people's attention to the craziness of medicine. It's usually about medicine, just the craziness. This is not how medicine is supposed to be. Doctors and naturopaths go into medicine, I think, to help people. And we've been turned into drug pushers. Fortunately, I got out of practice-based medicine in the early 90s and I've been doing research and writing, and now I have a company, a dietary supplement company. But I just can't believe what they're doing to doctors now. Doctors have the highest suicide rate. They're depressed. They're having a horrible time because they have a 7-minute appointment in which they're supposed to give a drug prescription. And that's just not how medicine should be. And they can't help but being depressed or suicidal because every patient that comes in to see them is not getting better. Because the more drugs you take, the sicker you'll get.
Yeah, such a good point. What do you do for fun or play?
I do a 2-hour morning 4-mile walk along the ocean and say hi to all the golf course workers or just people who are smiling on the beach because everyone's here as a tourist except me. And I'll do a 1/2-hour swim in an infinity pool. And I'll go hang out with friends and hang out with my husband too. But I usually go hang out with friends. And I'm helping support a biodynamic organic farm. And we're doing farm experiments now that with some of our products. And it's just awesome. If we can get people back doing their own farming or support farmers, we could be a lot healthier.
I think I'm going to move to Hawaii.
Oh, I know. Everybody says that.
Last question for you. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Well, for me, it was necessity is the mother of invention. I could not get anyone to build products for me that I needed, so I created them. I never thought I'd sell supplements. I would always kind of brag to people, oh, yeah, I'm just talking about magnesium. I'm helping all kinds of other companies, you know, make millions of dollars. But, you know, my hands are clean. And then I got into it, and it's awesome. It is awesome what you can do with money. So I have a team of 7-8 customer service representatives who as I said, I'm cloning so that they can spread the words that I want people to hear. So yeah, money is awesome. You can direct it into doing wonderful things. I love being an entrepreneur.
I love having you on this podcast. Dr. Carolyn Dean, it's been such a pleasure to hang out with you today, and you've shared such wisdom. Where can we send people to learn more about you? And we'll hook them up with our show notes.
Oh, I have so many websites. It's hard to know. Magmiracle.com. People can get a free chapter of my Magnesium Miracle book. Dr. Carolyn Dean is my blog site. drcarolyndeanlive.com is my radio show archives. and rnareset.com is my product site. So I'm everywhere.
Amazing. Well, we will hook people up with all of the links to you and your great work. It's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Megan. I appreciate what you're doing and having me on. This is the way people get information these days, by good podcasts. So mahalo and much aloha.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.